Ivanka and I get together once a year. Is that enough? We'll be together every Sunday. But if I can read her hand. My Father is omnipotent, and that you can't deny. A God of might and miracles, 'tis written in the sky. It took a miracle to put the stars in place. It took a miracle to hang the world in space. But when he saved my soul, cleansed and made me whole, it took a miracle of love and grace. The Bible tells us of his power and wisdom all the way through, and every little bird and flower are testimonies to. It took a miracle to put the stars in place. It took a miracle to put the world in place. But when he saved my soul, cleansed and made me whole, it took a miracle of love and amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. It took a miracle of love and grace.
All right, at this time we're going to have Brother Mel Sabaka, the man that the Lord used to found this church 27 or 8 years ago. And we're so thankful he could come up again and be with us this year. And I know you're going to get a blessing tonight out of the message. Amen. Praise the Lord.
What are you all doing here tonight when we got a big, good football game going on, huh? I'm telling you. Okay. I better kick at least a field goal, huh? Well, I don't know when I've been any more trouble than I have tonight. I settled on a sermon out of Isaiah chapter 6 on the holiness of God, something that we American Christians need to realize. And then I got a testimony, and brother, you're only supposed to play 88 of those 55. How many keys are on 88 tapes? You must play about 105. Let's see, what was I on? Oh, yes. All right. And then I heard a testimony over here, and I thought, well, I better preach on something else. Well, you can hear me. I don't care where I stand. I'll guarantee you that if I just turn it on. And then I thought, no, I'll preach on something else. And thank you, brother. I'll preach on something else. I believe that God laid something else on my heart. And then as I thought about that for a while, then somebody sang a song on the blood. And I thought, well, I better preach on that. But I'll tell you what is determined. Well, I'll tell you what's determined. Yeah, you're right, brother. When you got a book, 66 six.
Yeah, sir.
Big, that thick. You don't know where to start. You just don't know where to start. I think the best place is to start. It's just to start, fall down on your knees, and start to weep and thank God for it. So I'm going to speak to you tonight, and I think something else determined, the time determined. You're taking up all my preaching time with that music. So I got an excuse, but I'm going to let you out on time. Right on time. Say, what time is that? Never you mind. That's up to me. And we'll get out on time, and I won't keep you long, but I think I'm going to preach on something that I believe God led me to preach on. I don't have any notes for it, so we're going to have to wing it as we go. I scratched a little outline down here, and I think I'll just follow this thing here. Went over to Manhattan today to look at, trying to find a word to say for those kind of people, but what those murderers did over there in Manhattan.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the kindest word I can say about it. Now, you may have some other viewpoints on it, but please don't voice it here. You may get shot. Is this thing on?
No, sir.
It's not on. Okay, so, that's the... Is it on? Is it on, baby? Amen, brother, it's on. And I came out troubled. I was really troubled. And I will say this. I think I have a right to say this. It took me back some 50 years ago. No, 60 years ago. World War II. I thought about the destruction that we saw there, and then I saw how senseless this looked over here, and I thought about all the tragedies and all the heartaches. But I think I was more disturbed with something that I trust and pray that you'll... Can you hear me in the back there? Okay. Can you hear me all right? Okay. Well, I don't want Jim to hear me too loud. He'll start amen, and I'll have to throw him out. Well, I saw on that fence along that church, we'll see you, honey, and we'll see you this, and so on and so forth. And the tragedy of that is that most of those people have no idea of ever seeing that loved one again. They're lost and without Christ. It's the greatest tragedy the world has ever known. Lost and without Christ and without hope. I think about the boys that were killed in World War II, and to look at Arlington Cemetery and see all the crosses there, those young men who gave their life, and many of them did not know the Lord Jesus Christ. And I was one of them until God saved me at the age of 25 and a half. My heart has just been stirred, and I was emotionally touched. I don't normally get that way. I really don't. Nothing usually bothers me. I can pretty well handle it, but I couldn't hardly handle that over there. That was all I was too, as I thought those... Many of those people said, honey, we'll see you a little later on, or we'll see you this and that. And all I saw was God bless America. Very few signs that said anything about Jesus Christ. And I thought, praise God for our guys standing there and passing out the old book.
Amen.
Don't ever get discouraged because you don't see any responses. Don't ever get discouraged that your responsibility is not the response.
Amen.
Your responsibility is give it out.
Amen.
If you're going to blame anybody, blame the Holy Spirit of God if the thing doesn't get done, okay? So you're going with clean hands into heaven. That's the most important thing. But as I thought about all that, I thought, well, I don't think I've ever preached this message here. This is a message that's probably been preaching it for 50 years. Very close to my heart because I love this message. And I think you lie me. Call him a limey. The British, our British friend over there, he's American, but I mean our British friend over here, when he said, I want to love the Lord Jesus. I want to love him more. And that's what triggered the message for tonight. I want to love him more. And the only way you and I are going to love him more is to find out what he'd understand to us, a greater degree as to what he has accomplished for us. And what it cost on Calvary's cross. What was the price that was paid on Calvary's cross? Well, they drove nails into his hands and feet. That was peanuts. A lot of criminals have died like that. Well, they drove nails into his feet. That was gravy. A lot of criminals died like that. They put a crown of thorns on his head. Well, you know, that was pretty... No, a lot of men died like that and never complained. I've seen men go through agonizing pain and never open their mouth one time. So those things I said must not have bothered. But I want to talk to you about something that I think that caused an agony of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I want to talk to you about that and maybe stir your heart to love Him more and appreciate Him more. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Luke 22. Luke chapter 22. I'll ask the Lord to forgive me if this is not the message He wanted me to preach, but He just led me this way and led me this way and led me this way. And this is the way it's going to go. Once I settle on it, that's it. If it's wrong, God will have to whip me for it, and we'll go on from there. But I hope and pray that what I say tonight will cause you to learn to love the Lord Jesus a little bit more. And many of us sitting here tonight, please don't misunderstand what I'm going to say, but I say it. If you get mad at me, you come up at the end of the service and apologize, and I'll forgive you for it, all right? I'm going to do my dead level best to give you what little I scratched over here on this piece of paper. And this is from my heart. If this does not cause you to love your Lord and Savior more, then there's something wrong with your salvation. You better check it out. Of all the agonies and all the suffering and the torture that's going on in this old world, my dear friend, let me say something to you. There could be nothing that would compare to what the Lord Jesus experienced. Mainly and plainly because of some things that I'm going to talk to you about. In Luke chapter 22, let's go to verse 39. Stand for the reading of God's precious word, all right? 39. And He, speaking of Jesus, came out and went as He was wont. Somebody says, you know, I can't understand that King James immigrants. Well, no, it just says He went like He was always accustomed to going. That's very simple. Even a dumbbell like me can understand that. What's the matter with you guys?
Yeah, that's right.
I love that New York talk. I could live it, boy. I tell you, I don't know what's the matter with you guys. You Jeep, no Jew, you know, all that kind of business. I just enjoy it. And He came out and went as He was wont to the Mount of Olives. And His disciples also followed Him. And there's many of you here tonight that are following the Lord Jesus Christ. Wherever He wants you to go, you go ready to go with Him. But watch when the trouble comes and when the trials come and when the time comes to be where you ought to be. Let's see what happens. Verse 40. And that's not in the message, but I'm putting that in. Boy, this is going to be a wild one tonight. And when He was at the place, He said unto them, when He was at the place, He said unto them, I said, when He was at the place.
Amen.
My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, it's always appointed of God. God has His appointments, and there was a place that He was to be. This is beautiful English. I love it.
Amen.
It's so great.
Amen.
I'm glad I don't have to go to the Greek.
Amen.
Because I don't understand Greek. Moonhans, Manschwein, Drucke, Medaus, and Schnaufler, all that kind of stuff. I don't understand that stuff. I don't try to speak Greek because I have an awful time just speaking English. And He was, where was I? Okay. I knew that, but I just want to see if you were staying with me, okay? And when He was at the place, He said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. This portion of God's Word is so full of stuff, I don't know where to quit, but I just got to move along with it so I don't keep you here all night. And he was withdrawn from them about stones cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if Thou be willing, remove this cup from me. If Thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but Thine be done. And they prayed unto, and there prayed an angel unto Him from heaven, strengthening Him. Being in an agony. God being in an agony. Being in an agony, He prayed more earnestly. And His sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. When He rose up from prayer and came to His disciples, He found them praying. Upon them what? Sleeping for what? Sorrow. Thank you, Father, for your word. Open our eyes and our minds and our hearts. Oh, God, help us to see our blessed Redeemer as he hangs on that cruel cross. Now, Father, help us tonight by thy Holy Spirit to understand a little more clearly the agony that my Savior and our Savior went through. May it penetrate our hearts and our souls to the extent that our Father will love him evermore, even as the brother, dear brother just said, I want to love him more and more and more and more. The only way we're going to love you more, Father, is we're going to have to get involved in the Savior's suffering. And so we thank thee and praise thee for each one that's come out tonight. My, what a great crowd, Father. Please, Father, meet the need of every heart in this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. As I was down in, I might as well come down here because I'm not going to use the notes anyhow, so I might just come down here and talk with you. As I was down there at where the World Trade Center used to be, I looked it over, everything over, and I saw the grace of God. And I want to tell you what I think I saw. Maybe I'm dead wrong, but I saw this. I saw that if somehow God didn't have his hand in that thing, instead of those towers coming straight down, if they'd have just fallen 6 feet more this way, you would have had a domino effect all the way down to the bottom of Manhattan. I saw the grace of God as he let that, even though that building was coming down, the grace of God contained that building in that particular area, and those two buildings in that particular area. I saw the grace of God, and I was disturbed with the, and don't you ever forget it. You say, well, we New Yorkers will never forget that. Well, we forgot Pearl Harbor. We forget pretty easy. In fact, I would say this, and I'm going to be very honest with you. I'd say there's probably some of you here tonight that have forgotten the day that you got saved. Now, I don't enjoy doing this, dear people. But I have to follow the admonition in the Scriptures. As I read the Apostle Paul and as I read Peter when they write, they kept saying, bring this to your remembrance. There seems to be in the Scriptures a very clear truth, and that is this, that God knows that you and I forget easily. That's one of the tragedies of the fall back in the garden, a forgetful memory. We forget so easily. We forget so easily because something else comes along and something else attracts our attention and something else moves us in a different way or whatever the case may be. But my Bible tells me that Jesus was in an agony and he sweat as it were great drops of blood. That agony was a horrible thing. I can't imagine being in such a strife. They would cause sweat as it were great drops of blood to fall from a man's veins and come out of his pores and drop onto the ground. I can't imagine what would cause that. I can't imagine there would be any torture of any kind. I can't imagine there would be a beating. I can't imagine there would be nails. I can't imagine there would be a sword in his side. I can't imagine there would be a crown of thorns. I can't imagine there would be the spittle on his face. I can't imagine that it would be just the plucking of the beard and the beating that he received. I can't imagine it would be that because other men had received that. Somebody would say, well, I'll tell you why he was in agony. He was a coward. None of us would stand for that.
No, sir.
If you would, you better head out that door before we find out that you're here.
Amen.
Thou art in real trouble.
Amen. Yeah.
None of us would stand that. Jesus Christ was not a coward. I would say to you tonight that agony that was caused there was not caused by physical suffering and physical torture. And I'm going to talk to you about some things that I think caused that agony of the Lord and the Savior Jesus Christ. There's only be three things and it'll be short, I hope. And then we'll be out of here. But I hope it'll stir your heart and your memory. I hope, brother, that it'll make you love him even more. Brothers and sisters, I hope it'll make you appreciate the Savior who hung on that cruel cross. As an innocent substitute for you and for me. First thing I want to say that I think it caused an agony was this. It was the first time that sin had ever been placed on that pure, sinless conscience.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ was without sin. The Bible says so. Never sinned, never tasted, knew nothing of sin. He knew the glories of heaven. He knew the favor of His Father. He knew the adoration of the angels in heaven. He was blessed, my dear friend. He had never, never, never experienced the taste of sin. Never even known what it was. Oh, he had seen it in other men's lives, but he himself had never experienced it. And I believe that the fact that he was going to experience sin on that pure conscience, that pure sinless conscience, I believe that caused a great agony. I don't know anything else that caused any more than that. He was loved to the Father. The Bible says He bore our sins, but He Himself was without sin. The Bible said He was pure and clean and sinless. The sinless Son of God.
Amen.
And for the very first time in all of eternity, your sin and my sin was placed on that sinless, perfect, holy conscience. And I believe that caused an agony.
Sure.
Maybe somebody's sitting here tonight, you're kind of unhappy as a Christian. I'll tell you what's happening to you. It's the same thing that happened to your Savior on that cross. You've got a new nature on the inside that is absolutely, absolutely hates sin. And you're messing around with things of the flesh and of the world. And my dear friend, that's going to cause an agony in your heart and your soul. You can't get away with it. It will make you miserable. It'll make you unhappy. It'll cause distress. And you can sit in church service all you want, but way down deep in the bottom of your soul, my dear friend, there is sin in your life, and it will cause an agony. Because it caused an agony in the emotions of your Savior. He was without sin. And yet sin was placed on Him. The first time, please listen carefully. The first time in all of eternity. And I don't know how long eternity was before man was created. I have no idea. Don't care. Some people want to find out this and find out that. I'll find out in one shot when I get there. I'm going to worry about it now. But I will tell you one thing. It's the first time he ever experienced the taste of sin on a pure sinless conscience. And I believe that caused an agony. Second thing, and I'm moving right along. Second thing I think that caused an agony was this. Jesus Christ understood and had seen the wrath of God on that sin. He knew what it was to see the wrath of God on sinners. And my friend, if you think you're getting away with something today, you got another guest coming. God will have His day. God will have His day. Don't you kid yourself. If you're a born-again Christian, you're going to stand in the judgment seat of Christ and give an account. You can't get away with it. If you're here without Christ, never having received Him as your personal Savior, and you're bearing your own sin and you're hoping it somehow by your good works or something else that you're going to do, that you're going to be able to get away with it, my dear friend, I want to tell you something now. You're fooled.
Yeah. Amen.
You are being fooled. He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is what? The gift of God. Not of what? Not of works, lest any man should boast. You've got nothing to brag about if you're a Christian. You've got nothing to boast about if you're a Christian. But my dear friend, you've got something to be shamed about if you're a child of God and you're delving in sin. He knew what the wrath of God was. Gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. My dear friend, but he says this, the wrath of God abideth on them who reject the Savior. And he knew that. He understood that. Do you say he understood it all? Yes, he understood all of it. Do you mean that you're telling me, preacher, that he experienced all of it? Every bit of it!
Yes.
You mean to tell me, preacher, he went to hell? Yes, he went to hell! He had to go to hell!
Right.
I proved to you from the scriptures that he had to go to hell, my dear friend. It wasn't just some idea that somebody came up with. He had to go to hell.
Thank you, Lord.
Do you love him more? Do you want to love him more? Listen carefully. Listen carefully. He had seen the wrath of God on Lucifer. He's seen the wrath of God on Adam. And he's seen the wrath of God on those who had sinned. And he'd seen the wrath of God on others who had fallen along the way. And I'm not going to call a lot of names so that I don't get into rabbit trails here. He had seen what man will have to experience. He saw the rich man in hell. He knew what a man experiences when the wrath of God comes upon him. And he knew that he, as a sinless person, was to experience the wrath of God for you and for me. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love... Sing it with me. Jesus, oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. Sing it again, come on. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus.
Oh, how I love Jesus.
Help us, God, help us now, Lord. God, help us now. Jesus first loved me. And you said you loved him. You sang it. That's a vow you made to him. Well, let's get with the program here. He had seen the unforgiving wrath of God upon fallen sinners. He knew what was going to happen. And he was going to have to experience that. And it was causing an agony. God was coming down on his sinless, beloved Son. And all of his wrath was going to be poured upon it. And the Bible says in Isaiah 53, it pleased God.
Yeah.
That's beyond my comprehension. But it pleased God. It pleased God. Because he saw you, brother. It pleased God to put his Son through that. Hey, Saul, it pleased God to bruise his Son because you needed a Savior. Tony. John, I'm not going to name all you guys here because half of you will get mad at me because he didn't mention my name in the service. I just mentioned the bad ones. What a thought that must have been. I try to understand somehow, try to realize somehow, I try to conceive in my mind somehow, to comprehend somehow what it must have been like for the Son of God to know that the wrath of His Almighty Father was going to come. Not His Almighty Father, my friend. Don't you ever get that. It was the wrath of the Almighty God because He was not the Father when the wrath of God came upon Him. It was the wrath of God, not the wrath of the Father that came on Him. I can't imagine how He must have felt, what He must have thought, what He must have been thinking about, but I do know one thing. The Bible says it caused an agony. An agony that when he perspired, it came out like great drops of blood from out of his pores and dropped to the ground. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
What a Savior.
Amen.
What a Savior. What a God. It pleased him. It pleased him. For your sake, brother. It pleased him to bruise his Son for your sake. And for your sake. And for your sake, it pleased him to bruise his Son for your sake. And for my sake, you can do what you want to with it. But I want to tell you something right here now. When I think about that, I say, holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. I believe this. The fact that sin was going to be placed upon that pure conscience caused a great agony. I believe that the fact that the wrath of God was going to, he knew the wrath of God was going to fall upon him, an innocent substitute, I believe that caused an agony. But I want to tell you one more thing I think that it caused an agony. That's my third point. I believe that he anticipated the separation of the Father and the Son. Never in all of eternity, never in all the history of man or angels, never in all of eternity had the Father ever been separated from the Son, or the Son from the Father. The Son always pleased the Father, and no longer did he say, all I do will please the Father. For now, there was going to be a separation of the Father and the Son, the first time in all of history. Brother, I never have to worry about that. I am His and He is mine. And I never have to worry about that separation. Why do not I have to worry about that separation? Because He experienced that separation for me. Hallelujah! What a Savior. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. He knew that He was going to be separated from His Father. And that caused a great agony. And I'll tell you something right here now, my dear friend. There's some of you sitting here under the sound of my voice, perhaps, that there's a separation between you and the Father because of sin. And you're miserable, and you don't know why you're miserable, and you just can't get along, and you can't be comfortable in church. And you're blaming the preacher, and you blame somebody else for the problem, or you blame your wife or your husband. You're blaming someplace. Listen, my dear, if you know what the problem is, there is a separation in the sense that you have sin in your life. Cannot have fellowship with God. Oh, you haven't been separated from the Father, but the fellowship has been separated. My dear friend, there is nothing will make you more miserable or more, cause you to agonize more than the fact that when you speak to the Father, it just seems like that heaven is brass. Wrath of God was placed upon Him. Last thing I want to say about this thing is I want you to look at the faith of the Son of God. And that's where you and I come in. Look at the faith of the Son of God. Do you understand that Jesus Christ died with sin on Him? Therefore, He was separated from the Father. And when He cried out and He was in His dying moments, He said, my God, not my Father, could no longer control Him because sin was on Him. My God, why hast Thou forsaken Me? The agony was so intense. I am separated from the Father. Why? Because sin is on me. My dear friend, when He died, remember this, He was separated from the Father, and He went to a place called hell. Somebody says, why did He go to a place called hell? Listen to me. So that He could burn up all of our sins down in that pit fire. My dear friend, I don't have to worry about it anymore. It's all gone. Amen. Don't you understand? It's not a priest, it's not a preacher, it's not a rabbi, it's not a pope, it's not some other person, my dear friend. It is Jesus Christ. Now let's not forget that. Please don't let anybody fool you that it's something else. It is Jesus Christ. God commended His love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. God committed His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Amen.
Somebody says, you better quit preaching that hard. You might have a heart attack. I'll tell you when it starts to hurt.
Amen.
I'll tell you when it starts to hurt. I have suicidal tendencies anyhow. I have no problems with that. You hear that Sabaka died? Take a look in the sky.
Amen.
When you see that, you're going to see a burst up for Jupiter where I give it a kick as I go by.
Yeah.
Mars. Go home, 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 where I'll never sin anymore, where I'll never be tempted anymore.
Yeah.
I get tired of sin.
Yeah.
I get tired of failing as much as I fail. I just want to go someplace where I'll always please Him.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. And there He is. They take Him off the cross and they put Him into the tomb. The agony is over. The suffering is over.
Yeah.
He's paid the price.
Amen.
They put Him in that tomb, but there's one more battle. There's one more battle, folks. Just remember that. And in that tomb He lies. The devil's on the outside. Tomb is sealed. All the hordes of hell are around that tomb. Death is sitting on his chest. And the devil says, "How's everything down there, Death?" Death says, "Don't worry about a thing, I got him." Devil says, "Now come on now, I know what he's done here before. Gotta be careful of him, that bird there. He's pretty foxy." He says, "You better make sure." He says, "I guarantee you, he is not moving. He is dead." And the devil turns around to the crowd and says, "He's dead, he's not moving, he's dead, he's not moving." And Death has him under his control. And the hordes of hell scream and howl. I think it's probably the first time in all of eternity and all of time that there wasn't a demon tempting people. They were all around that tomb. They were waiting for that victorious day when after the fourth day they would have him. Second day, devil gets a little nervous. He looks down and he says, "Hey, Death." Death says, "Well, don't bother me. Wait a minute, Death. He said that the third day he'd rise up," he says, and Death says, how can he rise up? I mean, rigor mortis is setting in. He's harder than a rock. I mean, he's gone. He's gone. Don't have to worry about a thing. I got him. I'm sitting on his chest. Listen, I got it. I'm sitting on his chest, and there's nothing can stop it. He's going to decay just like anybody else." Devil turns around and tells the crowd, "He still got him. Hey, we're two-thirds of the way there. One more day, and we've got it made. Don't get ahead of the story. Let me finish it."
Yeah.
Don't anticipate it now. Let me just get ready, because it's coming. Third day, the devil says, "Hey, Death, how's everything down there?" Death says, "You ask me one more time, devil, I'm going to get mad at you. I told you he's nothing." He said, "Well, make sure now." Devil says, "Make sure now, Death." Death says, "I'm telling you, I'm sitting on his chest. I'm slapping him across the face. There's no movement. I mean, he's gone. I tell you, he's gone." I said, "Well," devil says, "just keep track of him for another day or so, another few more hours." He says, "We'll have it made." And the Death said, "Don't worry about it. Everything is fine down here. I mean, everything is, well, I think it was fine. I thought I saw him quiver. I thought I saw him quiver. I thought I felt him quiver."
"Yeah.
That's just your imagination," devil says. "It's just your imagination. Just hold on down there. Just pretend like you didn't feel anything and just stay there where you are. Everything's going to be over. Everything's going to be okay." And Death says, "Well, I know everything's supposed to be okay, but it's more than a quiver now. I'm telling you, there's something going. Look out. There's something going. Look out. Here he comes. And up from the grave he rose."
Amen.
My Jesus.
Amen.
My Jesus. I want to ask you a question about your faith. Remember this, when Jesus went to hell, he had sin on him. He was separated from his Father. What guarantee did he have coming back out? He said to the Father, he says, "You know, God," he said, "Father, I'm going to be separated from you. I'm going to..." Father says, "Yeah, I know that, son." He said, "I'm going to have sin on me, Father. You know that." He said, "I know that, son. What guarantee do I have?" Father says, "I'll bring you out." And that's the only promise that you've got. That's the only promise that you've got. That's the only promise that you've got. God says this. God says very carefully, sincerely, "He hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." And my dear friend, you're made the righteousness of God, and God has guaranteed you eternal life. Eternal,
amen.
Eternal life!
Amen.
That's a guarantee!
Yes, sir.
And if Jesus Christ had faith in that guarantee, so can you and I. Amen?
Amen.
I'm through. Let me ask you a question. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Now, right now, stop. Let's quit playing games now. Right now, quit playing games. Are you guaranteed, as Jesus Christ was guaranteed, that if you were to die today, you'd go to heaven? Are you sure? I'm not trying to make you doubt your salvation. But I'm telling you what, there's enough garbage going on in the contemporary church today to fool millions of Americans into hell. We don't want to have that happen here. And that's the reason the invitation is made clear and plain. If you were to die today, right now, not because you're here in church, or because you like Pastor Mike, or you may even go so far as to say you like me. That's going a long ways. But you don't know for sure. But if you died today, Jesus Christ is your Redeemer, and you don't have to worry about eternal life. You know that you're going because you have the promise of God. Now stop. Stop. We're not talking about a traffic light. We're not talking about going downtown. We're not talking about the Twin Towers. We're talking about the day that you take your last breath and step out into eternity and face that Almighty God. Do you have the guarantee as Jesus did? And if you have Jesus Christ, you've got the guarantee. Let's bow our heads for a moment of prayer. Being in an agony, he sweat as it were great drops of blood. Oh, God help us. I wonder if there's someone here tonight that you say this. I'm just not sure, Pastor. Brother Mel, I'm not sure. I'm just not sure. If I were to die today, I don't know for sure whether I'd go to heaven. I just don't know for sure. Now, don't be ashamed of it. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed, and brothers and sisters in Christ are praying for you, and God loves you, and God is Holy Spirit is making it clear and plain tonight that you can be sure if you will only receive the Lord Jesus. Say, Pastor, I'm here tonight. If I were to die, I'm honest with you tonight now. Come on now, be honest. Listen, you're only kidding yourself. You're not kidding God. Now, you can kid us, but you can't kid yourself and you can't kid God. If I were to die tonight, I don't know for sure whether I'd go to heaven. See, all my praying for you and all your praying for me and all of your work and all of your effort is not going to be of any good unless you have by faith accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your substitute. Say, Brother Mel, here's my hand. I am not sure that I'm saved, and I'd like to be saved. I have thought it over carefully with every head bowed and every eye closed. I'm being honest tonight, being honest before God and before myself. I don't know for sure whether I would go to heaven. Here's my hand. Please pray for me. Would you slip it up right now? Anybody at all? Anybody? I don't know for sure. Come on now. Don't play games. I don't know for sure. I don't know for sure. I don't know for sure. Child of God, can you say tonight, and can you sing from the bottom of your heart, oh, how I love Jesus? Or is there something in your life that's separating you from the Father? Is there something in your life that you know that you shouldn't be doing, or you shouldn't be thinking, or you shouldn't be acting? Maybe it's just you just forgot about reading God's Word. Maybe you don't pray anymore. Whatever it may be, listen, my friend, God does not press a premium on one sin above another sin. Sin is sin with the Holy God. This evening I sit here and I know that I'm not what I ought to be as a child of God. Please remember me in prayer. I want to get it straightened out. I really do. Would you slip your hand up right now? Anybody know? God bless you. God bless you. All over everywhere. Now you listen carefully. Listen very carefully and keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed. I'm going to do something and I hope it won't destroy the invitation. I'm going to tell you something about myself. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. Let's all stand. With heads bowed and eyes closed. Pastor, cheers.
All right, our heads are bowed and eyes are closed tonight. And the Spirit of God was certainly here tonight in that message. A number of hands were raised tonight. You recognized a need in your own heart. And there is a need in the church today. I mean, not just this one, but throughout the body of Christ, there is a need just to be brought back to the cross again and again and again. And we think the gospel is for the lost. The death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ is for the saved. Paul said, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. He said when he was on his way to Rome that he wanted to get to Rome so that he could preach the gospel to those saints that were in Rome also. Preaching the gospel to the saints. The saints of God need the gospel. We need to be shown again and again and again the death of our Savior, the burial of our Savior, the resurrection of our Savior. It needs to be large in our thoughts and in our theology, and I think in some of you tonight the Spirit of God must have done what He would always do when He shows us a view of the cross. How could we have anything but just more appreciation and more love for the Lord Jesus Christ and a bigger sense of our own sin, our unworthiness? If you're here tonight, you know there's something that needs to be made right. I'm not asking you to do something for show, but if you realize, Lord, I got to get this right with you. I can't leave this place tonight. I can't leave this place tonight until this thing is right between you and I. Don't do that. Don't go out of here if the Spirit of God is doing something in your heart tonight. I'm not saying if there's just a little quiver inside and you feel a little pang of conscience, but I'm saying if you know in your heart, Lord, I got to get this right before I leave this place tonight, then please, I want to give you an opportunity to do that. We're not going to hasten out of here. God may mean to do business with you before this night's over. Please, I'm going to ask you, we're just going to sing a verse or two of something, and if you would like to, you may step out from where you are and just come here near the front, near some of these empty chairs in the front, if you want to just kneel down. And you make that right with the Lord. You can come even now. We're going to sing in a second. You don't even have to wait for the music. This is not to show anything to anybody. This is between you and the Lord. Heads can still stay bowed and eyes can still stay closed. Is it something?
483, Oh How I Love
Jesus. Oh How I Love Jesus. Okay, let's go ahead and do that. If you're not familiar with the words, you can get a book, but you know the words, most of you. Let's just sing it to the Lord.
There is a name I love to hear. I love to
Oh, how I love you.
second. Is your heart just feeling like it's going to beat right out of your chest tonight? If so, is it because you love him so much or because you know you're a hypocrite by singing that? Is your heart pounding in your chest because you know you can't really sing those words truthfully? The Spirit of God wants to do something in your life tonight. If all the thoughts and the intentions of your heart were revealed here tonight concerning your love for Jesus Christ, would you be ashamed of what others would find out about your affection for the Lord? Hey, we live in a city with a million temptations around us all the time. I guess you do in the country as well, but here they're just blinking in every direction you look. Money, temptations on every side, and if a Christian isn't watchful all the time, you can fall in love with those things around you. You can fall in love with your job, with your car, with your clothes. You can set your affection on the things down here on this earth. And you know that to sing a song like that, you can't sing it truthfully, honestly before the Lord. I want to sing it one more time, but I don't want to make a liar out of you. I don't want to make a liar out of you if you're here tonight. And you know, Lord, I don't want to sin against you even by singing. If you need to make it right tonight, some of you young people, if you can't sing this song honestly tonight before the Lord, why don't you do something tonight about it? Why don't you just come and admit your need to the Lord, acknowledge that before God tonight and make it right? Some sin in your life that you can't let go of, some pleasure in your life that comes ahead of loving Jesus Christ and serving Him, something that takes first place before the things of God. Oh, young person, why don't you make it right tonight, would you? We're going to sing it. Just those last two verses give you a chance to come if you need to. Go ahead, brother.
It tells me what my Father has in store for every day. And though I tread a darksome path, yield sunshine all the way.
Is it true now?
Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus.
Is it true, brother?
Jesus.
Is that true, brother, tonight?
It tells of one whose loving heart can feel my deepest woe, who in each sorrow bears a part that none can bear.
Lift it up now if you can sing it.
Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because He first loved me.
Amen. Isn't God good?
Amen.
Amen. I think He did something in someone's heart tonight. And if He did, go home with a grateful attitude toward Him. Thank the Lord for the preacher tonight and the message. And it's been a blessing to be together. Let's pray, and we're going to be dismissed. Our Father in heaven, we do thank You so much, Lord, that You first loved us. Lord, You've demonstrated that love, Lord, again and again in our lives. But, Lord, help us never to forget that greatest demonstration of the love of God. When You laid Your life down for us, You said no greater love had any man than that, Lord, than to lay his life down for friends. But, Lord, You laid Your life down for us when we were enemies. And, Lord, thank You for that. Thank you that you would do that. Thank you, Lord, tonight that you're merciful and loving God. Thank you for your long suffering and your kindness toward us. And Lord, if there was someone here tonight who could not sing that song with a clear conscience, that may be going out of here, Lord, with things still unsettled in their hearts, perhaps sin unforgiven, things in their life that they can't get over, can't let go of, some bitterness, some hurt, some wrong done to them that they can't forgive, whatever it might be, Lord, please deal with them. Help them not to carry it into tomorrow, Lord, but somewhere, Lord, perhaps in the privacy of their home or the car or somewhere, Lord, they'll find a place and seek your face, make it right before this day is over. Lord God, get glory out of each of our lives. Thank you for this sweet time together tonight. Lord, we ask now for protection as we leave this place. Remind us, Lord, we never leave your presence. May we be aware of that. We thank you and praise you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Thank you. God bless you. We're dismissed.